Are you a business owner looking for real advice and input? You're in the right place. From concept to launch to growth, funding, and beyond. Welcome to Startup Hustle with your hosts. One once sold a business for $150 million. The other, the author of Million Dollar Bedroom. Here are your hosts of Startup Hustle, Matt DeCourcy and Matt Watson.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Startup Hustle. Matt DeCourcy here with Matt Watson. Hi, Matt.
Can I get some time on your couch today for a little psychiatric session?
Too bad. I'm already on it, bro.
Well, I'm not getting on the couch with you at the same time, that's for sure.
Well, you shouldn't do that with any of your employees either, which is what I want to talk about today.
And oh, man.
First off, before we get into this episode of Startup Hustle, if you happen to be an HR professional, hit stop right now. Not safe for the radio podcast airwaves, however you're listening to this. And this also could be a 3 or 4 hour episode.
But what if one of our employees is listening to this?
Too bad.
Okay.
I'm feeling kind of salty today, Matt. I'm a little worn out.
Well, so what exactly do you want to talk about? I mean, we know employees are awesome and our businesses wouldn't survive without them.
Actually, you're right. But with that comes a lot of responsibility.
And it's sort of like an adult daycare.
Yeah, I was going to say sort of like raising children sometimes, but then sometimes I can be the child too. I mean, I'll take a little bit of responsibility.
Well, salespeople are always like that though.
Salespeople make your business go round, baby. All right, so we're going to get back to employees here, and we'll talk about how awesome salespeople are later. And yes, honestly, salespeople are oftentimes the worst employees for a variety of reasons. But I think overall, you're either a good employee or a bad one.
Employee or employer?
I think that's a yes or no question as well. You know, kind of like you said, employees are a vital part of any business that you run. And, you know, the real reason for that is, you know, all you can do is all you can do. And if you're trying to do something big, well, I mean, run out of capacity pretty quickly.
Well, the alternative is to clone ourselves.
I'm working on that.
I did do that.
Yeah, I know. And I've seen how that's going for you.
But he's only 8. Days.
I know. And I did that for me, too. And my wife wouldn't let me name my daughter Payback. But that is certainly what she is headed towards being. So, but you know, we talk a lot about startups, and that's the theme of the show. With that, you're invariably going to have some employees if you grow.
Yeah, and it's one of the most important, you know, first missteps a lot of startups take, right?
Is
who they hire early on,
and sometimes it's also the greatest thing they ever did. I've had, you know, how many employees have you had? And any companies you've either owned or managed or whatever, how many have you had?
Well, today we have like 20,
and that's a small portion from what you had previously.
Yeah, my last business when I left there, we had like 250 to 300.
Okay. I think I'm somewhere in that ballpark, not all with companies that I owned.
I mean, with my first company, it got to the point where, like, you get on the elevator and somebody asks you, like, what floor are you going to? And I'm like, you work for me.
Right.
Right? Like, yeah. I mean, that's a whole different circumstance, set of problems.
Now, I've had some really great employees. And honestly, when I look back at my own story, my own narrative, I think it's really possible that without them, I wouldn't have found some of the success that I found. Would you agree?
I agree.
And I've also had some really bad employees and coworkers. And they're the worst.
And business partners.
Yeah, I know. I know what that's like right now. Just kidding. So before we kind of get into what a bad employee might be, or maybe how to avoid hiring them, or even what do you do if you get one in your grasp? What are some things for you that you look for in an employee, or the things that really kind of make a lot of sense to you when you're building a team or working with someone?
So someone once told me when you're working at a startup or a small business, that when you're hiring people, one thing to look for is to hire people that like to train other people and people that like to travel. because if they like to train, that's good, because you're always training new people and that. And the travel side really comes to about organization and being flexible.
I was going to ask where that component came from. Yeah. I thought maybe it would be more related towards just willing to do something that's a lot of people won't.
Well, I mean, yeah, and people who like to travel tend to do a lot of planning. They'll go somewhere that they don't know where they're going, and they kind of have to figure it out, and which is a lot like a startup.
Sure. I'm looking for the person that's willing to do whatever they need to do. Like, that's an important quality, and someone that has a good attitude about it. I really just don't like working with negative people. That shit's contagious, like really bad. If you put a bunch of employees in a room with someone that's outwardly negative and just not really that great to work around, well, it can really put a damper on everything you're doing.
It's definitely can be a bad culture for the whole team and the whole company. It just takes one or two bad apples to kind of bring everybody down, for sure.
Sure. And now back to the, like, some of the good qualities. I mean, I'm typically looking for people, like, you know, you hear these kind of buzzwords like a can-do attitude. You know, I can do it. People that aren't generally intimidated by a challenge or a need or, like, you know, wanting to do something that might be different.
And it's just having people that are positive. I mean, one of the ladies that worked for us, we referred to her as the exclamation mark around here.
Okay.
Because she was just always just fun to be around and exciting and very positive. And
well, those people can make doing things that suck.
Yeah.
Not suck.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
And that, you know, that's a thing, you know, especially in a startup or anything new. You know, I look back at any startup and, you know, talking to people about, I'm sitting here in the studio and I'm looking at a list that I made for a potential startup that, and it's really, really long. And I start looking at it and I'm like, man, I sure wouldn't want to do many of those things because they're not fun, but all of them are really important. And, you know, I think another thing too is, you know, the ability to be thorough or patient and the places where it needs to be, but at the same time, also have an aggressive approach towards things like problem solving. I think it's probably the thing that will drive me kind of nuts is it's like the house is on fire and I'm going to sit down and watch it and wait for you to come with the bucket of water, sir. And that kind of, that'll kind of drive me nuts. What about competitive people? Do you like a lot of competition or not?
I think it's good in definitely in salespeople or different roles.
Well, you employ a lot of developers. Is that ever a competitive environment? It doesn't really go well with that personality style.
No, I think it's a little, I mean, some sure are more than others. I mean, we have one guy that did MMA, and I'm sure he's pretty competitive. But I think in general, it's kind of a different personality and breed of people.
I've been sending him cryptocurrency quietly with the notes of, not,
like a hit list?
Not from Watson, yeah.
Like a hit list or what?
No, I don't want to say that because I would never, ever. I just, you know, I mean, I'm just trying to build up a little positive, you know, account with him in case I got to take care of some business, in case I get a bad employee. You know, like we told the HR professionals to turn this off. But, you know, I think some other things too that make a good employee or people that are direct, people that just, you know, they'll say it to you. They're going to say they're not yes men or women.
Need to be open and honest, willing to take criticism, willing to listen. And these are all important traits of a good founder or manager.
I agree.
Right? Like just being able to figure shit out and not take it personal.
Right.
It's the people that take things all personal that are the hardest to deal with. It's like, we're all in this together. Let's just figure it out, make it work.
Right.
Not get overly uptight and personal about every little detail.
So let's do, you know, we'll do a little, like a little recap of some of the stuff we're just talking about. You know, the word agile comes up. That's flexible, ability to change, ability to maneuver in a way that makes sense to, you know, whatever the project or situation is. People that are friendly or, you know, outgoing, assertive, that can-do attitude. Another thing, what about people that just have a general sense of hygiene?
Oh, don't get me started on
that. I'm being serious, man. Like, and you know, you look at, all right, so if you're a startup, you're probably not working in individual offices. I mean, let's, reality of it is, I remember looking back in the $1 million bedroom story and like, you know, we had three people in a, you know, something that was probably the size of a prison cell at one point. And I mean, look, here's the thing, man.
That sounds efficient.
If I had to fart a lot, you guys are going to smell it.
I'm sorry.
Or if, you know, there's a lot of different things that can really be kind of gross there. I think another thing that we didn't mention is people that are punctual and timely.
Right.
How do you feel about people that are late? It really drives me nuts.
I really can't stand it. I mean, there's nothing worse than if somebody's always got somebody in their family that's always late. I mean, it's just all that just always kind of, it just kind of drives me crazy. I'm a very punctual person.
If it's a family stuff, I'm always late because that means that I oftentimes have to do less in certain spots.
You spend less time with them?
Not intentionally, but yes, intentionally. Sometimes it depends on what we're doing. It's not really like trying to get out of it. But as far as work stuff goes, especially when I'm doing things that are sales related, nothing's gonna drive a spike through your sale faster than just showing up really late for it. And you know, I think that as a teammate and an employee, and you know, this is a pretty common a common way to look at tardiness, is that you're not respecting other people's time. You almost like feel like, you know, you're more important than the situation. And it's, you know, you get these spots where you got five people waiting for one person to show up. And also as a startup founder, well, that's a waste of your resources.
Yeah.
You know, you're taking 5 minutes and it might only, hey, but I'm only 5 minutes late. Okay. Well, I mean, back to the yes or no scenario, you're on time or you're not. You know, I get it. I sometimes stuff happens, but you ever had these people that are like consistently 10 minutes late and they're like, yeah, I just can't seem to get here on time. I'm like, you know, you could leave 10 minutes earlier. That would be a very efficient mathematics solution for the problem here. So, well, those are the good people. How easy is it to find a good employee?
It's hard. I mean, especially if you're looking for software developers, it's really, really hard.
I think it's just hard if you're finding them in general. I think there's one more component, too, that we didn't mention. How about people that care? Just generally care about what you're doing. You know, like people that have, when I first started employing people as a business owner, it was really frustrating for me. I had a really hard time on a lot of days. I'd, you know, be driving home or driving around, like talking to myself, you know, just like, okay, why do they do this? Why do they do that? And, you know, eventually I matured and I realized that no one was going to care about my business as much as I do. And once I got past that, my expectation for that level of caring by my employees lessened and I became less frustrated. But at the same time, I really do, this is a certain, you know, intangible thing. When someone cares, they care about your customers, your clients, your business. You know, they take a little more, a more thoughtful approach to the situation in general. And that's something that's really hard to teach. You either are kind of like that or you're not.
Well, another thing I always struggle with is people doing the job the same way that I would want them to do it, or doing it at the same
pace,
speed, right, quality. I mean, that was something I struggled with for a long time in my career.
Especially if you're good at something too. Yeah, like, why can't everybody be as good at this or as fast at
it? Why isn't this stuff done yet? Why doesn't it work? You know, and then not being a total asshole to those people, because it's not. It's really difficult, especially if you're a really high performer, to work with other people that just aren't at your level. But you're not going to find necessarily other people that work at your level, right?
I mean, we could find people that did what we do, how we do it, when we do it, the way we do it. They probably wouldn't be working for us.
They would probably own their own company
or be into it, you know, or on the way to it. And, you know, I think that's a good point. I've had the same issues, the same frustrations. I think right around that same process of kind of like resolving myself to the fact that no one was going to care about it as much as me. I was kind of going through that same thing, you know, and, yeah. So in conjunction with that, as we kind of transition into the things that, you know, aren't really great traits about someone, How do you, you know what, actually, let's talk about those first, because I think after that we can talk about how we resolve it, deal with it, address it, or turn the page on it. What's the least favorite quality you have?
I think it's people that are negative.
Yeah.
To me, that's one of the biggest ones.
I think that's almost like the top level category of
people that make excuses, or they're negative, or they just bring everybody down.
When I hear about excuses, there's something that, and I think that you can learn a lot from this if you're one of these people. It's just general responsibility. If I'm employing you and you mess something up and you come to me and you say, hey, I need to tell you something. I messed up. I really could have done a better job at this. I know what I did wrong. I'm going to be able to get this right next time. The chance that I'm going to I might actually just be excited that you took responsibility for what's going on. And it's that same mentality of, you ever know someone that gets a speeding ticket and it's the police officer's fault? You know, like, I mean, is it really the police officer's fault that you were going 60 in a 35? You know, they're like, I can't believe that cop gave me that ticket. How dare him?
It's their fault. They made the speeding limit.
Right.
It's their fault.
Right. Now, with that are the same people that are going to also, you know, like, notice these same people, they feel slighted and shorted. They're not getting their fair share. You know what I got my fair share of today, though? The barbecue you have
in the cafeteria.
Yeah. And that's the one time on Tuesdays at noon, I always pretend that I work for Stackify long enough to get barbecue, and then I quit. So
freeloader.
Hey, it's hard to do. You know, say when in Rome, well, when in Kansas City, you will eat barbecue. You ever work with someone that says that's not my job?
In a startup, that just doesn't work.
That doesn't happen.
Because I am also chief cook and bottle washer around here.
Yeah, I know. I hear you. I've done it all. And oftentimes I find myself doing the things that other people don't do. And I'm never really happy about it. Do you have job descriptions?
No.
I don't either. I don't believe in them. I think they're limiting. Now, I understand if we had an 8,000 person company, it might be a little more required. But nothing drives me crazy more than hearing that's not my job.
I mean, we put up a job ad for something. We, you know, have a job description and list of responsibilities, but I think those are always just a starting point.
Did I ever tell you the content I used to post? So I've always had some kind of assistant or someone that, you know, kind of assists me. I don't really get very specific about it, but a few years back I posted for Entrepreneur's Assistant, and the description was, if you're willing to get paid like shit, work too hard, but learn a whole lot, this is the job for you. I had an overwhelming response. It was, you know, and it was people that, like, at that, in that particular role, I attracted a lot of, you know, mid-20s, just out of college type people, and they wanted to learn something, and that was the trade-off. Maybe they became great employees, maybe they didn't, but, you know, the particular hire that I made. But how about the guy that has worked somewhere for 25 years and he's paid his dues, and for some reason that means he plays by a different set of rules?
Is he working for the union?
Maybe.
That's usually people that work for the union.
I find these
a lot. They have seniority. Everybody owes them.
There's a lot of these guys. I've worked with a lot of salespeople that have this affliction. And they also are the same guys that are or gals that are always saying, oh, if it, you know, everything's never like it was. You know, back in the heyday of doing this and doing that, we were able to, you know, make $1 zillion and we didn't have to do anything. I can't believe everything changed. Who moved my cheese? And
grumpy old bastards.
Yeah, I think that kind of goes with that same mentality of overvaluing your own experience. Like, just because you've worked in an industry, like, look at your industry. Just because technically we work in the same industry. I have no idea what you guys do at Stackify in other than what the product does. And that doesn't mean that because I've worked in or around software for, you know, X number of years, that somehow I have this, you know, amazing hand-me-down knowledge that somehow applies to anything and everything, like a skeleton key.
Yeah.
Can I tell you a secret about someone?
Sure.
I don't like people that gossip.
Maybe we should spread some rumors on the podcast.
Oh, man. What would that be?
I've heard some weird ones, you know, even, yeah, I mean, I've heard some weird
time
ones.
Out.
I don't want to really get into it, but yeah, people come up with some wacky stuff.
Did you hear that I'm trying to replace you as my co-host on the Startup Hustle?
Yeah. You have done that before, actually.
Dude, it's because your startup is way further down the line than mine, and you actually take vacation occasionally. It's
every once in a while.
I'll be honest with you. The reason that I've replaced you is because really deep down inside, I'm super envious that you are doing something other than working.
Well, I was recently at the premiere for Westworld, and I was trying to get one of the hosts. And I was going to make them like me and bring them back and then have them be your new co-host.
So you're going to replace me with a robot?
No, myself.
You were going to clone yourself with a Westworld like robot and then replace me on the show?
No, replace myself. So So I wouldn't have to do it anymore.
I fully support that. Yeah, I'm into that. Well, yeah. What do I need to do to help facilitate?
I mean, I'd probably replace you too, but.
Do I get to do it with another robot? You want to talk about weird gossip stuff?
You can do whatever you want with those robots.
All right. So there's been some weird, gossip about us or about myself. It's really funny. We're sitting here recording a podcast. Someone's either sharpening 10,000 pencils in the room next to us or trying out their new saw.
I think they're doing construction upstairs.
Maybe. They've been doing a lot of that lately. I actually vacated my office a couple of weeks ago because I was positive the ceiling was going to fall in. So some of my employees, they joke. They think I'm a robot, a vampire, or an AI chatbot. And that's because I am just kind of like always there. I'm always online. I just don't sleep for long periods of time? So, you know, when I'm weighing in on something, you know, at 2 a.m, 6 a.m, 8 a.m, they ask me a lot if I sleep or not.
Maybe you're already a host. Maybe you're not human.
That one dude on that show didn't even know he was a robot,
yeah,
right?
It could be you.
Isn't that like
it
the most advanced model, like when you become self-aware?
Bernard didn't know.
That's right.
So why don't we talk about...
Hey, look, if you don't do what I'm going to tell you to do right now, Matt, I'm kicking you off of this podcast and I'm telling the producer. Peer pressure, man. It's not a real cool thing to do in school, and it sure isn't a good thing to do in the workplace either.
All right, I'll do whatever you want.
That worked.
So why don't we talk about now some of the worst hires we've ever done in our startups?
Oh my god,
I got one for you.
Lay it on me.
So at Stackify, one of the worst hiring decisions we did was actually hiring a salesperson before we had a product to sell.
Okay. But
he was a good candidate. He was a good guy.
Okay. So
we hired him way too soon.
That's actually one of the things when they talk about hiring is making sure you actually you really need the position.
Right.
And sometimes, I did that at Gigabook. I did the exact same thing. It's really funny when I look back at it and I'm kind of like, man, what was I thinking? It was right at the beginning of 2015. I felt like, you know, I could basically throw a square peg into a round hole. And I mean, I learned a lot about validation and just kind of, we weren't ready. I sure wasn't ready for a couple people that were trying to sell a product that was not ready to be adopted on a large scale. So yeah, I kind of did the same thing too. It's kind of tough to deal with, you know, at the same time, like how do you avoid hiring someone that's not good? Oh, wait, I didn't get to share one of my worst hires may have just recently occurred. Yeah.
Was it me as your co-host?
No, we don't get paid for this. Okay. So technically you haven't been hired.
Okay.
Yeah, we should do something about that.
So what was the worst hire you made?
If you're willing to send $1 to the Startup Hustle podcast, we no longer have to say that this isn't monetized. So figure out how to do that and send it on.
We need a tip jar.
Well, I recently hired someone. They lasted 5 days. With a cumulative cumulative lateness in 5 days of almost 8 hours, fell asleep at the workstation.
I've had that happen before.
Spending as much time text messaging. Wow. I just, you know, the crazy thing too is it was someone that interviewed well. And what's your hiring process? What do you put someone through? Like, how do you try to get the turds out of the punch bowl, Matt?
I think the best thing you can do is talk to them as much as possible and have them talk to as many people as possible. Get them in different situations.
I like a 3-in-3 configuration. 3 different people talk to them on 3 different times. And it can be, I don't know, like the person that you like that first day, you might not like the second day, definitely might not like the third day. Then you also might like someone and someone else might see right through their BS. And that's really the whole purpose of that. Now, would you say it's probably a good idea to not just hurry up and hire someone?
I think it depends. I mean, you definitely want to take it slow, but you don't want to overanalyze it. At some point in time, it's going to be a coin toss if they're going to work or not.
So you're saying you don't truly know what you're getting until they show up and do the job.
You really have no idea.
I agree.
I mean, especially hiring like a salesperson, like you have no idea if they're really going to sell stuff or not.
It's so true.
Or a software developer. Like, yeah, they sound smart, but do they actually get anything accomplished?
You know, another thing too, is like also like the rate at which people accomplish things. You know, I've really learned to appreciate that over the years. You know, someone that hypothetically makes $100 an hour needs to be 2 times faster than the, you know, than the guy that makes 50. And, you know, some of that, you know, in the world of baseball, they say war, win above replacement.
Right.
Like, you know, it's just a mathematical calculation that this player is statistically going to help you win 3 more games than the average guy in the minor leagues. Well, I look at employees the same way. I actually call it CAR, cost above replacement. And sometimes you just have people that, you know, maybe they have a bloated salary compared to whatever's, you know, being produced. And then some people are the opposite way. I'm like, oh my God, like, well, we just added someone like that. And, you know, our office in Cebu, I'm just like, wow, you know, thank you for making my life easy. I really appreciate it. Being good at your job is something that I enjoy. Do you really define the specific needs of what you need for a position? Like, even if it's internally, I know we said that we don't always do job descriptions, but I have a pretty good idea of what I'm looking for when I go to hire someone. I mean, past personality traits.
Well, I guess I kind of think of it as like problems I'm trying to solve. Like my business needs help with X.
Right.
So right now we're hiring an account manager.
Right.
So it's like, you know, we have a pretty good idea of the void we're trying to fill, what that person kind of looks and feels like, what they're good at, what we need them to do.
You said something to me recently that's relevant. You know, I'd rather have a guy or a gal that's great at one thing than someone in specific places that's just average at 12.
Right.
Now, that other person we just, you know, said wasn't the right hire, it early stage startup actually might be the better.
It could be. And, you know, in the past, for example, I've had like a graphic designer that worked with me that was sort of pretty good at marketing, sort of pretty good at editing videos, sort of pretty good at a lot of things, but wasn't really good at any of them.
Right.
Sometimes those people are great. I mean.
Right. And I think that depends, like, you know, do you need a Swiss Army knife? Do you need a cleaver? Or do we need like, you know, Rambo's survival knife?
Right.
I mean, I think that can, you know, or maybe a scalpel. I think that's the true specialist. And I think as your business or your startup begins to grow and advance in its stage, I think that's where you get more towards the surgeons. Although, you know, sometimes you do need a whole army of other people depending on what's going on. I know that when you had Vend Solutions, when you guys have 200 or 300 employees when you sold that thing?
Yeah.
Wow. It's a lot. Do you know them all?
No, did not.
How many did you know?
Most of them.
Right.
I mean, it's weird because it starts out where it's, you know, 10 people, 20 people, 50. You get to a place where it's like 50 to 100 and all of a sudden you can't keep track of everybody anymore. You can't remember their name.
And that's the thing too that makes business growth interesting, because now you need people to manage your people and
right.
You need people just to fill out paperwork about your people. And then you need people just to fill out insurance paperwork about your people. And then you need people to clean up after you.
Well, and ultimately your biggest problem becomes retaining people, right? Like, you've got these great employees. How do you retain them? How do you keep somebody else from coming along and stealing them?
Has that been a problem?
Yeah, from time to time. I mean, especially with software developers and stuff that are in such hot demand.
I'm a raider.
Yeah, I know.
You do.
Yeah. Can you help raid some people for me?
Do we have to do it here?
No.
Because I'll tell you what, you know, if you're in Kansas City and you're a software developer, congratulations. It's a very interesting market for that particular position here. What do you think drives that?
Is supply it just, and demand.
And I was listening to a podcast with you on it, which was weird. I felt like I was cheating on this podcast, but you were on the Mixergy podcast, right, which is widely listened, very well put together. And did you say something like there was a million shortage
of IT professionals in the United States?
That's just the United States.
In the United States, yeah.
Good Lord. Wow. That sounds like
a that's why they make so much money, right? Like if it's like anything in life, it's all based on supply and demand. And
I could help you with that.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's why, you know, it's partly why we hire people in Cebu. Yeah. You know, we've worked on that in the Philippines because it's impossible to find people here. And we've had employees in South America and other places because sure, we just can't find them. And
well, some of that too is just so much money. It's just the need as well. Like you talk about retaining employees. Well, in order to retain employees, they have to be happy.
Right.
And if you're burning them on a red line, you know, schedule, you know, and making people work at times that they're not happy and do things that they're not passionate about, eventually that catches up. And that's where when your company becomes global, and Stackify very much has, where you guys have over 50 countries or...
We have customers in over 50 countries, yeah.
I'm wondering, we've had more listeners in more countries. When is Stackify going to catch up? You really need to get your shit
together. Well, we're working on it. We're working on it.
At least Stackify generates revenue. We pay money to do this. I'm going to need to borrow a couple bucks to pay the podcast bill, by the way. What do you do if you realize you've made a bad hire?
It's hard. I mean, I think it depends on the circumstance, right? It depends on if somebody's really not doing their job or what if it's a person that has like some medical issues or personal issues that are maybe something they can straighten out. It's tough.
Do you have a different level of patience if it's someone that has immediate issues as opposed to someone that's been with you for a while? Because I do.
Yeah, I mean, I always try and be loyal to people, especially if they do a really good job. I mean, your example of somebody who shows up to work late all the time and stuff like that, like, you don't feel so bad letting them go.
No, especially, yeah, I always say when it comes to employment, and it's kind of the same with dealing with clients or customers too, is you need to make some deposits before you start making withdrawals. And, you know, I've had employees in the past that have gone through rough patches and, you know, like, I mean, you're talking people, they're on their third, fourth or whatever year. And I get it. Those things happen, you know, and like, if you feel that that's someone that's going to rebound and be a, you know, a good contributor and a productive member of your team or someone that you feel good continuing to write checks to, then that might be worth dealing with.
Yeah, I think a couple tips I have there is always trying to make sure you don't get to a place where you have one employee that sort of holds you hostage. Like they're the only person that knows.
That's the tiny general, Matt. That is the tiny general, and that's someone you definitely don't want.
I mean, I always refer to it as the bus factor. Like how many people can have to be hit by the bus before there's nobody to do the job?
Okay, sure.
You don't want the bus factor to be
that,
one.
Well, people that very willingly throw others in front of that same bus are also not really a desirable quality. There's a few things that I've learned to pick up when interviewing someone that, in my opinion, all right, so we were talking the other day, you're never gonna hire at a 100% success rate. Honestly, if you get 4 out of 5 right, you're doing really good, right? I think if you're getting down the 50% range, it's no good. But like you said, you don't know until they show up. And then sometimes circumstances just happen. You know, you can't control things you can't control. But when I'm interviewing someone, there's a few things that'll definitely red flag me. People that come in and ask about compensation, like immediately, tells me you're selfish. You're only concerned about the money and nothing else. I want you to want the money, but we haven't even talked about the job yet, Matt. And by the way, this job pays nothing. Are you still interested?
Yeah, I'm still interested.
Okay. Well, I like that.
I'm not employable, so.
I'm not either.
I don't expect to have a job that pays anything.
I'm going to try to get a job soon, maybe. I don't think I'd have a tough time. I really would. I don't think I'd make a very good employee at this point. I work with other businesses quite regularly and I enjoy that, but I think it's because I eventually know that I'm going to get set free or whatever. It's part-time and I kind of like helping people. But, you know, some other things that are, all right, look, if someone's late to the interview, they're not going to be on time to work. That's a red flag for you right there. You know, people that are attentive, that ask questions that matter. Like, I love finding people that have a passion for what you're going to want them to do, not just like, oh, sure, I could do that. You know, like, I love doing podcasts. And if you hire me for nothing as your podcast host, I think that you will not regret it because I'm awesome.
Let's go. Let's do this. Come on.
See?
Let's go. Woo!
It's contagious. Now, all right, look, I'm going to be honest, and this is why I told the HR people to turn it off. I flush the turds, man. I don't wait long. I have had a lot of employees, and I look back at all of them, and look back at your own hiring record and the people you've worked with. If someone isn't good right away, they usually aren't.
That's been one of the problems I've had over my career is sometimes you get these people that are like, oh, they do a pretty good job, but I'm kind of on the fence. And
tweeners.
My gut instinct has always been to flush them. I always fight against it.
I've heard people say that, you know, people that claim to be experts, that the best time to let someone go is the first time it comes up in
your
thought process. Because in this weird subconscious way, you've basically made up your mind. Like, you know it at that point.
You become very negative about that person.
And that's another thing too. That's another reason I take a very aggressive approach, because not only will whatever they're doing that makes you want to let them go continue to eat at your solutions, it also will eat at you.
Yeah. One of my good friends refers to this as freeing up their future.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm not going to fire you. I'm freeing up your future to do something else because this is not it.
There's a movie with George Clooney where, like, or I think that's him, and, you know, they're the guys that go around and just fire people. And, like, they're showing him, like, being presented with this, you know, it's got like a yacht on it and they're like a beach. And, like, you know, like, the getting fired is clearly the greatest thing that's ever going to happen. it can be. You know, like, maybe there's a lot better opportunity out there for you and you've never gone to explore it. But yeah, for me, like, when I know, I do try to give someone a chance. Like, we have bad days, but, you know, some stuff you can just control. So,
well, what, you know, we bring it back to the analogy of Westworld again. You know, one of the things that somebody was talking about or was on the show is a lot of us actually kind of work on that loop. We do the same thing every day. We do the same job. We do our life is actually kind of on a loop, much kind of like the host.
That Groundhog Day kind of thing.
And sometimes,
you know, there's some ways to break that up too that'll actually help you not go crazy.
Yeah.
Maybe your employees too. So, do you meet any famous people out there?
You know, I'm not easily starstruck, but.
Didn't you see Elon Musk?
I did see Elon Musk.
Why didn't you ask him to be on the show? Okay, look, for those of you listening, the night that Matt was at, you know, doing Hollywood stuff, and I say that with, like, you know, air quotes and a smirk, but I would have loved to have gone. My wife probably more so, but we'll get to that part in a second. So I get a message from Watson and it says, oh my God, Elon Musk is at this thing. And the only thing that I could think to respond was ask him to be on the podcast. And, you know, we're hoping to have that for the next episode.
Were you being selfish?
No, I was trying to do that for the overall value of what his views on why we all live in a computer simulation would do. did you actually meet Elon?
No, I didn't. He was like 10 feet away from me walking through the crowd.
That might be enough. Did you get smarter at least?
Yeah, I think so.
Did you get richer?
No.
Did they give away free Teslas?
No.
Anything else interesting going out there?
I mean, it was cool just to meet the cast, and there was other interesting, like Katy Perry was there and some other interesting people, but
did you ask her to be on the podcast?
Oh no, we went on a date and everything. So yeah.
Is that why your wife was chasing, what was his name?
She was chasing one of the Hemsworth guys. You know, she was like a teenage girl.
Yeah, I know. My wife was too when she saw the picture of your wife with him.
I know.
The only comment I could make on your Facebook page was, Jill, put it back in your pants. It was pretty amazing. I was just really, really enamored by how excited my wife was that your wife met him. We were also really excited. You know, we're big 30 Rock watchers.
So okay.
What's the, you know, the guy that was Chris Cross on 30 Rock, and he's the, always one of the main guys in the first season. He, I forgot his name. They usually kick his ass and shoot him and rebuild him. He's, I can't remember, one of the main guys. He's
okay.
Like the boyfriend of the blonde girl.
Yeah, that's James Marsden.
Yes.
That's yeah. who like we went, like he was the one that helped us go to the event. So we spent a bunch of time with him when we were there.
You rode to the event with him?
No, not with him, but so the reason we got to go was from a charity event. He was mm-hmm. the one who like made it all happen.
Okay.
So he was like our sort of sponsor to be able to go.
Well, that looked fun. While you were doing that, I was at home regretting my hiring decisions. No, not really. I, you know, honestly, to kind of wrap us up, I mean, I really do. I value the people that help make it happen for me, especially the ones that really make it happen. Anything you heard, you know, on this was, and if you do work for me, this wasn't about you. Or was it?
There's a lot of legal disclaimers here.
I could talk really, really fast right now. Like, you know,
well, I think in general,
we didn't name any names. Anybody named during this podcast was done so in a fictional sense.
Yeah, I didn't really see
Elon. By the way, you know who's getting fired? Whoever's sharpening pencils for the last hour next to us.
But. I think in general, to wrap this up for me, I think technology is actually pretty easy to create. It's people. People are hard. Recruiting people. Hiring people, keeping them happy.
Getting them to work with each other.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of like adult daycare. It really is. And I mean, I've had friends
that were... I bet our employees would say that about working with and for us.
I've had friends that were managers at certain companies that felt like they were psychiatrists all day. Like, they have employees coming in just bitch and have grievances.
I have no idea what that's like.
I wouldn't put up with it. Well, I wouldn't want to deal with it.
I'm talking about you.
Oh, dude. Shit. Yeah, I'm sorry. I do come
three
in
or
here.
Four times a day. Like, I've literally seen you.
Not
like,
a day.
There's been days.
Maybe that one day.
We're going to start the counter.
You know, maybe a couple times a week.
By the way, before we close, I want to thank the guy who emailed me about the podcast to specifically express his empathy for the fact that my Rochambeau legacy had ended.
It is over.
Yeah. Thank you for caring. I do appreciate that. I mentioned that I really appreciate caring and empathy. So, you know, I think on to the next episode, and that's going to be a running count of how many times you come and crash on the couch in my office.
All right.
Ready to complain.
All right.
I'll see you next time. I'm going to go look for a job.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Startup Hustle with Matt DeCarcy and Matt Watson. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit startuphustle.xyz. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please rate and subscribe. And we'll catch you next time on Startup Hustle.